our scripture reading. First we'll be in the New Testament. Often we read the Old Testament first and then go to the New Testament because of the historical order. But in fact, we're actually following historical order here, because what John 1 describes happened long before history ever began. In John 1, the first five verses, we read this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. And then in the Old Testament, to Psalm 148, where we read our text for today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. Let us pray. Oh, Father, how we thank You for this unified message, Old and New Testament, teaching us eternal truths and realities of who You are, what You have done, and who we are, and why we exist. Help us to learn this day that we might truly know how to have a thanksgiving. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, 99% of the countries in the world today are not celebrating Thanksgiving. And yet Thanksgiving is not an American holiday. Although it never became an official holiday until quite recently in our country, not until 1863, Thanksgiving is not a new holiday to world history. In fact, connecting Thanksgiving to a certain Thursday in November and having a celebration around a turkey, now that is uniquely American. But Thanksgiving is something that is much larger, that has been around for much longer, and that it is of great more importance than simply to citizens of a particular country at a particular time in history. The Word of God tells us today, the fact is that Thanksgiving is a glorious opportunity that the Christian has forever, for all of their life, every day of the year, and for eternity. Thanksgiving is something that's been going on for thousands of years in thousands of tribes and nations. And in Psalm 148, God lifts our heads and our hearts and our eyes up from our tables today to focus upon Him, the Lord. And while we meditate upon Him together for a few moments, we're going to see and hear this fact that the entire universe praises the Lord. The entire universe praises and gives thanks to the Lord. Again and again we see this command, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What does that mean, boys and girls? To praise God means to give God the glory He deserves. The glory He deserves because of who He is and because of what He has done. There's a whole universe of thanksgiving being described in our psalm, not just a few friends and family gathered around a table, but not just a country that has a day off work, one day a year. But there is a universe today, a universe that says, thanks be to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so as we walk through this psalm, seeing the entire universe praising the Lord, we're going to notice that there is thanksgiving coming from two places here. And there's thanksgiving that comes for two reasons. Comes from two places for two reasons. But lastly, with one focus. Thanksgiving from two places for two reasons, and yet with one focus. We see first in our psalm, thanksgiving coming from two places. It comes from the heavens above and also from the earth below. In verse 1, we read, the psalm is kind of divided into two stanzas. It's a hymn. It is a hymn. It says, praise the Lord from the heavens. And then down in verse 7, you see, praise the Lord from the earth. And there's a listing there of all these different things that live in the heavens or in the earth. Thanksgiving comes to God from the heavens. Remember, this psalm, like all the psalms, are prayers and songs of praise to God. This psalm calls upon the whole universe to praise God. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, or where you are in the universe. But you are called to praise the Lord today. Give praise to Him. It starts out saying, praise the Lord from the heavens, in the heights, all His angels, the sun and moon and stars. As Reverend Charles Spurgeon preached on this long ago, how well the concert begins when all the angels and all the heavenly hosts are the ones who strike the first joyful notes. It is in that concert that our souls would at once take their part and sing praise as well. Notice that everything that exists above your heads and mine gives thanks. Praise to God. The heights above, to the outer reaches of the galaxy, the living creatures which dwell in those places called angels and the hosts and armies of heaven, and the non-living creatures, the sun, the moon, the stars, the lights, even the layers of atmosphere themselves, all these things are called upon to give praise to God. How is it that these things can give praise to God? Well, because God shows His power by these beings that exist. You might remember when God first created the world, He created the sun and the moon for a purpose. We read about it in the opening verses of the Bible. He created them to show that He's still God. And He is using them as a picture to show that He is ruling the universe. The sun rules the day, the moon rules the night. And every moment in history since that first week, the sun can be seen during the day, and the moon can be seen at night, as well as the stars. And any time you and I have not seen the sun or the moon, it's not because they're not there, it's just because we're covered for a few moments by some clouds. But don't worry, down in verse 8 we see those too are created by God and giving praise to Him. The heavens give praise and thanksgiving to God. But so does the earth. The earth as well gives praise and thanks to God. No matter where you turn, you just can't get away from God today. And that's okay. That's a good thing to be able to say, I can't get away from God. He's everywhere. His presence and the evidence of His care is all around me. His handiwork is displayed everywhere I look. 365 days a year, reminding me to give thanks and praise to Him. God's in control of things way up there, sun and moon and stars, but He's also in control of things way down here. In fact, below us, our verse describes sea creatures. Some of our older Bible versions perhaps use the word monsters or dragons. Great sea creatures in verse 7 that live in the depths of the sea. They're amazing colors and spectacular shapes of sea creatures and fish that live miles below in the ocean. And we hardly even knew they existed until we started to create the technology to go down that far. They have very bright lights to shine in that dark, dark waters to see spectacular colors that no human had ever seen before. Why would God create something like that? One of the reasons is because that gives praise to Him. The sea creatures in the depths give praise to God. And so do all the elements of weather that keep our weathermen guessing, trying to predict what's going to happen next. Verse 8 says fire, hail, snow. You've seen that? Clouds, stormy winds, all of these fulfill God's word. Whether it rains on this side of the road or that side of the road, it's because God said so. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Is God really in control even of storms and tornadoes and hurricanes? Absolutely, we believe that. God says it again and again and proves it. Remember Jesus when He came. He's with His disciples out on the sea. And He talked to a storm. And it listened. Why? You and I try that 100 times. It would never work. Why did those wind and the waves listen and obey Jesus? Because they recognized His voice. That's why. Because it wasn't the first time they heard His voice. Because they heard His voice in the beginning. Because He was in the beginning with God. When God said, let there be light, let there be waves, let there be water. Jesus was there. The wind and the waves knew their Creator was here. And they obeyed. Boys and girls, have you ever been afraid of storms, of lightning, thunder? Your parents ever been afraid of having to drive in icy conditions, blizzards? God reminds us that we can pray to Him at any time. He is the one who is constantly in control of the weather. And He can change the weather just like that. Or He can keep us safe in the middle of the weather. If God was not in control, what would you do when you were in the middle of some very terrible weather, some storm? Your prayers would be pointless. But because God is in control of that weather, you can pray to Him. And know that this storm and this wind and this rain and this hail is fulfilling His word. And He's also got words that say He's going to take care of me. And He'll keep all those things together in perfect harmony. All these things give praise to the Lord. And verse 9 mentions some beautiful things that at least Christians would agree give glory to God. Mountains and hills, fruitful trees and cedars. But verse 10 mentions a few things that perhaps we could have a debate about whether they really give praise to God. Creeping things? Creeping things give praise to God? If there's anything on God's green earth that we might think less of, it's these creeping things, these creeping spiders and ticks and chiggers and microscopic organisms that just to say their name starts to make you itch and feel uncomfortable. I remember when I was a 15-year-old, I was babysitting for a family, and the father of that family had a large insect collection. It was in a case in this, if you know what the old library card catalog looked like, it wasn't on the computer, and it had tons of drawers, and there was this thing with about 100 drawers, and inside each one were several preserved insects, ladybugs and crickets and all sorts of strange and exotic creatures that I never wanted to know existed. But thankfully, they weren't creeping anymore. But there was a little card in there that said all sorts of things about them, scientific information. It was amazing that God would do all of this, that God would take the time to create this thing that makes me feel uncomfortable. I want to get in the other room, but God has done so. And this too gives praise to Him. The amazing design of creation. And among all the living things that God has created that exist here on earth, verse 11 and 12 mention that humans are especially fit to give thanks and praise to God. Humans of all kinds. The most powerful ones, kings and judges and princes. It doesn't matter what country you live in or what the national religion is. Today, every human is called to give praise to God. Just like they were called to do that yesterday, and they will be called to do that tomorrow as well. To give praise to the Lord. And verse 12 describes for us, really, the people who are at a typical Thanksgiving feast, doesn't it? You read that? Young men and maidens, old men and children. It's a pretty good description of most of our feasts today, I suspect. Old men who, by God's grace, are still around and have much wisdom and experience to share their biblical lessons and how to apply God's word to the rest of the family. And young children with such excitement and energy that they can show that there's hope for the future as they serve the Lord with that energy and zeal. And boys and girls, you can serve the Lord today, too, by helping out. Setting the table, cleaning the dishes, all sorts of things. Serving the Lord, giving praise to Him. Why is it that God can expect the whole universe, heaven and on earth too, to give praise to Him? Well, there are two reasons why we are to give thanksgiving today. Also found in our psalm. The reasons are that the Lord is the Creator. See that in verse 5 and 6. And also the Lord's name is exalted. It's high and glorious above everything. We see that in the end of verse 13. We'll look at these reasons. We give thanksgiving because the Lord is the Creator. In verse 5 we see, let all these things praise the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. You know, there are many so-called scientists and self-proclaimed experts in the world who want to say that God did not create the world. And there are even many who try to prove their case from the Bible, messing around with the first couple chapters of Genesis. Even some scholars within the Reformed world trying to confuse people, and some have succeeded in confusing people into thinking that God did not create the world in the space of 6 normal days. But He used the evolutionary processes which we're supposed to believe exist as His tool. But the problem that all of these enemies of the truth have in common is that they face something much bigger than just tearing apart Genesis 1 and 2. They have to rip out a whole lot of other verses from the Bible. In the prophets, we see God described as the Creator. In the law, the 4th commandment. Remember the Sabbath day because God created it in 6 days and rested one. In the Psalms, again and again, giving praise to God as the Creator. And in the New Testament as well, God our Creator. The Bible reveals the Lord is the Creator. And our Psalm is a key passage showing us that He is the Creator, but also what God used. Now I wonder, boys and girls, if you've ever thought about what it is God used to create the universe. Your mothers and grandmothers today are using recipes, whether they have them in their head or in front of them. They're using recipes to create those wonderful dishes we will enjoy. And on those recipe cards are listed ingredients that they will use that they had to get at the store. But when God created the universe, He didn't have a recipe, and He didn't have ingredients either. He simply said, let there be light, and there was light. He simply used his mouth and spoke something, and it was. He had the ability to do what you and I could never do. Because he's God, he has that power and life in himself. As John 1 describes about Jesus, in him was life, and that life is the light of mankind. God has life in himself. It's amazing that God can do what you and I wish we could, but cannot. Because not only does God praise, does God create things just by saying it, but he continues to take care of those things. Where verse 6 says, he commanded they were created, then it says he established them forever and ever, and has made a decree which shall not pass away. God keeps the universe running exactly the way he designed it in the first place. In your workplace or at school, maybe you've made some project, made some piece of machinery. But after you make it, what happens to it? Batteries run out. The parts start to rust or decay. Somebody else comes along and crumples up that beautiful artwork you created. It doesn't happen with God's creations. He created it and he keeps it going. Day by day, he is in control. The sun, the moon, and the stars are where they are in the universe right now because of God's decree. And the planets that are spinning around and orbiting one another are not a fraction of an inch off, one way or the other, from God's decree. Everything is there where it is, fulfilling his word. And so, if nothing else is true of you today, maybe you're not a member of Christ's church anywhere, maybe you've been straying from God's church for some time, trying out different spiritual options, or in your own head thinking a non-spiritual option, which is its own spirituality. It doesn't matter who you are today, you have one great responsibility in life, and that is to worship the one who created you. You are obligated to adore him, to love him, and to worship him, to bow your knee before him, to give praise to him, not to any God, but to the God who does exist, the one described in our passage, the Lord God in the Bible, who revealed himself in the person of his own Son, Jesus Christ. But there's another reason to give thanks to God today, and that is found in verse 13. Not only is the Lord our Creator, but the Lord's name is exalted above the universe. Now, it's not that if you look up high enough and had a telescope, you could see up high enough that here's God's name, Jehovah or Jesus, written in the sky somewhere. But when we see that the Lord's name is exalted above the universe, his name represents God himself. All that he has done and all that he is and his power and his character. He is high above all things. He created it all, of course, and so he rules it. And we all bow before him as the king. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus came for. Jesus came to earth, not just so that we could be forgiven, but so that we could worship the king who created us. Jesus came to earth to rescue a people who were glorifying their own name, doing their own thing, walking in their own way, so that we could be brought into God's kingdom and worship his name, the true king, his way, to give to God the glory that is due his name. We are all called to exalt the name of Jesus today. And that reality has been symbolized in our heart and life, if you're a Christian, ever since the beginning, when you were baptized. The name of God that is glorious and exalted above the heavens was placed upon you. When the pastor pronounced those words of the sacrament from Jesus' commission, I baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The glorious name of God. And throughout our lives we are called to exalt that name. The third commandment tells us don't take that name in vain, but use it properly. Worship him because of his word that he's told you and his works that you see around you every day. In the Lord's Prayer, we're told, Make that name honored in your life. And in fact, pray that God would make it even more hallowed in your life and in the world around us, in your attitude. And of course, we're promised that one day this great name of God is described this way in Philippians 2. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God's name is exalted. Jesus came for this purpose, that we might worship him as the exalted one. Psalm 148, in order for us to understand it and to know how to praise God, we have to understand it was fulfilled and is being fulfilled through Jesus, who came and was exalted to God's right hand, ascending into heaven, that glorious name that we worship today. And yet we know that so many people today are not exalting his name. Is that the fault of this wonderful universe that's just not doing a good enough job giving thanks to God? Is it spinning out of control, heading to chaos and global meltdown? No, God is still in control. He has the whole world in his hands. And it's not God's fault either that there are so many people who do not praise him. The Bible tells us how to understand this reality. In Romans 1, verse 20 and 21, we read, ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that he made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that all mankind is without excuse. And yet, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened in their sin. So we're reminded as we come to the end of this psalm that there is really just one focus of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving really has just one focus. And verse 14 drives that home to us. It's sort of the exclamation point on the whole hymn of thanksgiving. It says, let everything in heaven and earth praise God. And then it says in verse 14, focusing upon one particular group, God has exalted the horn of the strength of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. You see, the one focus of us remembering that the heaven gives glory to God and so does the earth, remembering that God created the whole thing and his name is glorious and above all, the one focus of it all is so that you and I would praise the God who has saved us from our sins and made us his own people. Thanksgiving is for you. Thanksgiving is for us so that we may give thanks to God. Thanksgiving is not a day that God needs. It's a day for us so that we can give thanks to him. The unbelieving world is not joining the angels and the mountains and the snow this morning as the universe gives praise to God. They look at the creation and call it nature or Mother Earth. They don't care about exalting God's name. They would rather that their own pride be known, that their own name be made famous. They want their wealth and success of the past year to be celebrated. They want to pat one another on the back and be thankful for all that they have done for themselves and their families and their businesses. They say the world is a God-free zone. It's a neutral territory. There's no one religion that this world is a part of or serves. But God says today, there's no neutral territory in the whole universe, but it all belongs to me, and it all is praising me. You can open your eyes and worship me, or reject me in unbelief. What about you? We have all confessed today our faith and worship. In the words of the Belgian Confession that we read in the bulletin there, We confess that we believe not only that God created everything, but He still upholds and governs all things by His eternal providence and infinite power. Why? For the service of mankind. To this end, to this purpose, that man may serve his God. All of these scientific facts are for your soul and mine. For the health of our spiritual relationship with God. Science, the universe, exists to serve our faith, to help us worship God. It is not an enemy. God created it. It is to help us worship our Creator. Do you know what God has done for you? Something He never did for an angel, or a creeping insect, or a mountain. He says that He made us in His own image. And then after we turned away from Him, walking in our own way, rebelling against Him, turning after our own pleasures and sins, in word, thought, and deed, He still loved you through the work of His Son and sent Him for you. He didn't do that for any angel or any ladybug. And now He tells you and me, and all whom He loves, that you are a people near to me. A people near to Him. You see that? The last two words of the psalm, a people near to God. This is amazing, because this whole psalm is about the universe and how much greater God is than the universe. The highest things you can imagine, God's greater than that. The lowest things you can imagine, the sea creatures, God's greater than that. And yet now God says, He who is above and beyond all, you, unlike everything else I created, are near to me. A people near to me. Do you think of yourself as being in God's presence today? Near to Him at all times? Notice it doesn't say you should feel this way. It doesn't say go and make sure that you are near to me. It says this is the gospel fact. If you have faith in me, you are near to me. This is true. Do you know that comfort? Do you know that comfort? You are God's own special people. How else can we respond than to join the universe in song? Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. I give thanks to my Redeemer. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Almighty God and Father, how we thank and praise You today. That in Your infinite wisdom and mercy, You have made us who we are, Your people. We pray that You would work in us repentance, hearts which truly trust and believe in You alone. We would know the blessing of Christ coming to live and die in our place, that we might trust in You and follow You by Your strength and grace. Thank You that You do not forsake us, but You continually surround us in heaven above and in the earth beneath with evidence of Your presence and protection. We pray as Christ taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.